give, make you do it. Makes us all the better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left, going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
And we welcome you to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You just heard the press conference with Browns owner Jimmy Haslam and CEO Joe Banner. And we bring you now, at the start of the show, an exclusive interview with the CEO of the Browns, Joe Banner. First, Joe, thank you for joining us.
The start of the show.
Wow.
Right off the bat.
What, we're something big happen?
Very exciting.
Cutting to the chase. And let's start with this. The timing of this move with Rob Chudzinski is the thing that strikes me, because it seems to underscore, it does underscore the idea of an admission that you got this wrong. How hard was it to make this decision this soon on the guy?
You know, it was very hard for a lot of reasons. One is everybody here who knows him likes him a lot and has a lot of respect for him. And it didn't affect just him, but, you know, the other coaches on his staff that came here with high expectations and hopes. So that made it hard. The fact that it's less unusual than people realize, but obviously it isn't the norm to only give a guy 1 year. And were we really sure that the threshold had been hit, where that was a reasonable decision to make? Was that a fair decision to make? Were we sure enough that it was the wrong long-term answer to make that kind of a decision? That was very hard. We went back and forth about it at various moments. Had different ideas even, you know, within ourselves. Was it the right thing to do? Was it the right time to do it? Ultimately, as people have heard us say, the fact that we continued to not show the progress we felt we should be showing, and what we've looked around, and not just in this year, at what we've seen with young teams and first-year head coaches as systems get implemented, what we thought was realistic expectations of development, we finally decided that it was what we really had to do to get this right and have the true sense of urgency we have about really getting this thing turned around as quickly as possible. The safer thing to do, frankly, the thing that would have gotten less criticism for me, Jimmy, the less need to admit, you know, we got it wrong, would have been to stick with the status quo. But we didn't think that was going to get us the wins we're looking for as quickly. Time will tell whether we're right or that. Right or wrong about that, by the way. We don't make these decisions as if we know everything, and we just try to make our best judgments with what we know at the time. So time will tell what was right or not, but we made the decision we need to make this change to get on with trying to get the winning franchise we want here.
One of the tenets of this organization since you and Mr. Haslam have come aboard, obviously, being bold. Trent Richardson, that was a bold move. This, another bold move, a decisive move after what you thought was an unacceptable performance this season. What do you say to the people who would say that a lot of the assets were kind of shifted towards 2014 with the trading of Trent, with the trading in the draft, and maybe not giving Rob Chudzinski in his first year the talent around him to succeed?
Yeah, again, we were focused more on the progress. So we certainly recognize the team needs more talent added to it to get to the kind of levels we want to get to it. On the other hand, we do feel like we moved the needle forward a bit in terms of the talent. But really, it wasn't the focus of the decision here. It was, were the young players developing in a large enough quantity and quickly enough? Was the team as a whole coming together and playing better as the season went on? We thought the answer to that was no. I think most people observing the team would agree with that assessment. Then, of course, we had to do an analysis of why was that the case, and it left us with the conclusion that we needed to make this change.
And as you looked hard at the entire staff, there is a management of the coaching staff that goes with being a head coach, not just the management of a roster. So there had to be some things or whatever not happening there that you observed, because to your points of getting better and improvement, I mean, that's what coaching is, right? Taking a young group like this with an average age of like 25 years old and making them better. You weren't seeing that. So it goes beyond, obviously, Chud, but also spills into coordinators and position coaches.
Yeah, hard for us to know all of what's going on within the staff, to be completely honest. So our evaluation is based primarily on the outcomes. You know, we get a chance to watch practice each day and, you know, watch the film and watch the games. The dynamic within the staff of, you know, how they're interacting and working together and stuff like that is really left under the domain of the head coach. So our evaluation was primarily built on the outcomes that we were seeing, not just in the games, but in the practices and the progress we didn't see.
And there's a lot of sentiment that this is unfair, that Chud had so little to work with in many cases, had to deal with a very tough quarterback situation. And you were asked about this in the news conference, that the philosophy of this season was building for 2014, being very clear. Therefore, how could he be expected to succeed with that? What do you say to that
point? Yeah, I mean, I think if you thought the analysis was just how many games did we win this year, and that was why he was let go, because we only won four games, then I would understand the line of thought. But whatever your own assessment of the talent level on the team, you know, all teams lose some players through the season to injury. And, you know, we experience that at no greater or lesser level than an average team in the league. So it still leaves you in the position where you should be making progress and getting better. And I think as you looked around the league, including some of the teams we played against with first-year head coaches, if you compare just watching their progress, the scores of their games, even the one-loss records over the last 6, 8, 10 games,
Jacksonville,
you saw a lot more progress than, you know, we were seeing here. In fact, three of the teams that were drafting very high last year, meaning they had amongst the worst records in the league, actually made the playoffs this year. Now, frankly, it's unusual for three teams to take that big a leap in 1 year, but you at least see what's possible, even with completely new systems being installed. In many cases with a lot of new young players, some free agents, some drafted players. So the evaluation wasn't based just on the one loss record. If it was, I would understand people looking at it that way.
Given that Rob Chudzinski was not the head coach of the Cleveland Browns for 365 days, how do you go about selling another coach on coming in here and saying you're going to have the opportunity to be with us for the long haul? And do you think the fact that, you know, you look at the teams picking in the top eight next year, and I went through and did this before I came in today, not a single team picking in the top eight has more than two Pro Bowlers. Three of them have exactly one, two have zero, the Browns have five. Is it the fact that the talent here, maybe, even though people will argue about whether or not it was looking ahead or behind, the talent level and the overall lack of progress as you dictated, was that the hard part for you? And is that what you think will be appealing to another coach, the fact that there are those pillars here in Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a great story to tell. I mean, first of all, you got a passionate market about football with phenomenal fans. And coaches care about that. They want to feel that energy, that intensity. They want to have that home field advantage. Then I do think that there's a solid core to the roster here. And again, I'm acknowledging it's got a ways to go. We have some work to do. To have a reasonable expectation that we're going to win a lot of games. But I think the best story is the combination of the existing talent, the youth of the roster, the outstanding cap situation we're in, the draft picks we have. Head coaches want an owner that they know is primarily focused, in this case singularly focused, on winning football games.
And he is.
Is willing to make the investments, whether it's renovating offices or, in this case, eating some salaries to do what he thinks he needs to do to win games. So I think that we have an outstanding story we're going to be able to tell about why a coach wants to come here.
When you talked earlier in the press conference, you referenced, and he's referenced the core of great players here, that you had a meeting with the core players of this team. How did that go? What was the tenor of that meeting?
Well, it was a very good meeting. I mean, and I say that in the sense that we were able to lay out to the players our vision and the reasons for the decision. We didn't go into great detail, but we wanted them to have some firsthand explanation. They were able to tell us how they felt and what their hopes were, and then we had a very good conversation as we looked forward to the same boat we're all in, with the same goal we all have in terms of getting an outstanding head coach and getting ourselves into the playoffs and at some point, you know, going beyond just getting into the playoffs. So it was very positive in that sense, and it was very open, which was good, so they were very comfortable.
The list of qualities you want in a candidate obviously haven't changed in less than a year's time, but this time around, again, you said you got to get it right, want to get it right. So, but have you in any way changed the approach or are going to change the approach of vetting and going through this process to increase your chances of getting it right? And what would those be? And how much power control is this guy going to want, perhaps, because the more prominent candidates tend to?
That's the last part is going to vary by candidate. And we're not locked into some structure here that won't allow us to attract the best candidate. Many more coaches are looking to primarily coach and have input in terms of, you know, what they need to run their systems than actually wanting to watch the film and pick the players than people realize. So this hasn't been an issue for us in the past. Last year it wasn't, and in my past searches hasn't been. So I don't anticipate that being an issue. But I think that we're going to be thorough in really researching and understanding who the candidates are out there that we should be talking to. And hopefully from that, we bring our past experiences with some successes and what happened last year that obviously we're making a change, so we feel we could have done a better job with. And hopefully both those learning curves come together and put us in a position to get it right.
Joe, one of the major investments this offseason last year was in the defense on the outside linebackers, Barkevius Mingo, Paul Kruger. Is it important to you that the 3-4 is something that continues with the new head coach?
And I don't want to dictate anything to the head coach. Obviously, there is some benefits to continuing something as basic as you're playing a 3-4 or 4-3. But, you know, if we found somebody we thought was going to be a great head coach and we had to look at that, it wouldn't rule the coach out. But that's not to deny it would be simpler if we perpetuate the system. Most of those players, by the way, we think could play effectively in either scheme. But we really need to just find the right coach and let him define those things.
And the timetable, last thing before we let you go, what's the...
Timetable is get it right. And it's easier if we get it right fast, but we're going to take the time we need to get it right. I mean, if it turned out the coach that we wanted was going to be in the playoffs for a while, we're not going to worry about, you know, people criticizing us or wonder what's going on. We'll wait to get the right person. And on the other hand, if we, you know, walked in the first two or three interviews, felt like, you know what, this is the guy, we'll pull the plug.
All right, Joe, thank you so much for on a very...
I just wanted to say one thing.
I was getting a cut sign.
Just across the room. One thing, because obviously we have you in here, and Twitter is obviously a buzz, and I'm not going to get any specifics, but what's the one thing, one method...
That was called one of the Three Stooges.
I did not expect that, by the way. The over-under on Three Stooges cash today at the press conference.
20 years in the league, I haven't called a lot of things. But this is, and I'm trying to figure, who's the third Stooge? Because you mentioned Mike and
you
I.
You and Mike, right.
But who's the third?
Unknown. It's unknown at this point.
Well, maybe we should track the guy down and find out who
he is. Probably one of us.
Exactly.
I wanted to ask him, but he didn't look like he was interested in answering.
What's the one thing that if you were to run into a fan of the Cleveland Browns right now on
Mo,
the street?
Larry, or Curly?
That's right.
Which one do you think I am?
Go ahead, Nathan.
I'm not answering that at all.
You answer that, Nathan.
None of the above. What's the one thing that you would want a fan of the Cleveland Browns to know today, right now, about what they can expect from you in the future for this team?
I'm not one of the Three Stooges.
Correct.
I said this in the press conference. I understand skepticism and disappointment, and I can hear the words about the history, but I didn't live it, so I don't claim to be fully in the shoes of people describing it, but I certainly have enough people, you know, tell me about it and have been a fan for many years prior to the time I'm in the league. So I do understand it to a degree, but I'm not pretending to be able to stand in anybody else's shoes. I actually think this move should send the message to people that whatever it takes, including putting ourselves in the position where we look bad and take a lot of heat, that we need to do to get this right and win a lot of football games, we're prepared to do. And whether you agree with that decision or disagree with that decision, that should provide you a lot of comfort, because I think as people talk about the history here, they haven't always had that. They've had people accepting things just being okay or not so good. We're not going to do that.
Clearly.
And again, you may agree or disagree with the decision, but hopefully you take some comfort in the fact that we're going to demand excellence and we're going to hold everybody accountable. And that's going to, in the long run, pay off big for the people here in Cleveland around their football team.
All right. It does lead to this bridge thought. Does it ramp things up for next?
Cut signal.
For next? It got washed away. Does it ramp things up and make this coming off season that much more urgent, because you've made this, now you're on coach number two, so this draft, this free agency period, does it just increase the urgency of it all?
Well, the urgency, absolutely yes. That's why we're making the move. What increases the urgency the most is how many assets we have at this particular moment that we can't misuse. So every offseason is important. You've got to move the franchise forward, especially compared to your primary competitors in your division and the teams you're trying to catch if you're competing to win a Super Bowl. The urgency here is rarely do you have 10 draft picks, you know, three, I think it's in the top 35 or 36, and, you know, we can go right down the list of the second and third rounds and be in the position we are. Have the extent of cap room. Have as many assets available right now to make the team better and miss that opportunity and end up in a good place. We can't let that happen. So that's what's made the season, this offseason, particularly important.
Thank you. Joe Banner, thank you. We know you got a couple of things to do here today, like hire a coach and
a
figure out which stooge everybody is. All right, this is we've got much more coming up. It is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You just heard from the CEO of the Browns, Joe Banner, exclusively here. We've got much more coming up. We will have a roundtable segment, and we're going to take your calls, 216-578-0850. We know you got a lot on your mind. You're tweeting us at Browns_Daily. Just getting us started on a very newsy, a very dramatic, a very incredible Monday here at the end of the 2013 season, the day after. Vic and Nathan, ESPN 850 WKNR.